Here, volunteers with some branches of the Citizens Information Service have said they've been told that they're no longer needed in their current roles, but that they can stay if they agree to their roles being reduced. It follows a new strategy from the Citizens Information Board, which operates these centres, to have paid staff lead the service rather than volunteers. The CEO of Citizens Information Bureau is Fiona Coyne, and she's on the line now. Good afternoon. Welcome to the programme, Fiona Coyne. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Brian.
I note from a review conducted earlier this year by the Department of Social Protection that the Citizen Information Service relies heavily on the support of volunteers to provide face-to-face service to their customers. So what's changing about the volunteers and why?
I suppose, firstly, Brian, I'd like to say that in the Citizens Information Board, our main goal is to respond to the needs of the people who use our funded services, including Citizens Information. And we want to ensure that a consistent, sustainable and high quality service is available to everyone. And that people know that Citizens Information is a trusted source of information, advice and advocacy. During the pandemic, the way in which people engaged with the service changed considerably, and I'd like to acknowledge the work of everyone in the 8 regional Citizens Information companies to respond to this. Mm-hmm. What we're now seeing is that a growing number of people engage with the service through phone and email, with 59% of our clients now assessing the service through phone, and 45% of clients are now under the age of 45. So while the involvement of volunteers has been a key part in the development of Citizens Information, and we absolutely recognise and value their contribution, the way in which the service is now being delivered is changing.
So what is changing, and what's changing for the volunteers?
So I suppose, firstly, again, I'd like to say that the number and levels of volunteering across the country is not consistent, and therefore we can't continue to rely on fully volunteer-led centres. In order to, you know, continue to meet those needs that I spoke about earlier, we cannot rely overly on volunteers' goodwill and commitment while we absolutely recognise and value their involvement. Unfortunately, not all of those who previously volunteered with the services have been in a position to come back. And we've been working with the 8 regional companies to best manage how to offer services around the country.
So just on that, you've had 900 volunteers is the figure given in that review that I quoted earlier. Are you saying that there's fewer than that now?
We are still trying to assess the actual level of volunteers. So the services in the regions are writing out to and contacting their volunteers to assess how many people are willing to come back.
Right.
And what we're trying to focus on is for the volunteers who are willing to come back is to use their skills and expertise as best we can. So that can be, for example, specialist clinics for people who have expertise in areas such as pensions or social welfare, and also allow volunteers to continue much of the work they were previously doing in vital customer and client supports, helping people make applications, exploring their calculations and entitlements.
You say you've identified a need to change things here, but have there been complaints? Have your customers, people using the service, been unhappy with what the volunteers have been doing?
The issue is that the client's engagement with services is changing, and what we're seeing is much more complex queries and people coming in with multiple queries, which would have been different a number of years ago. Person might have come in looking for support and filling out an application form. Now what we're getting is people coming in with very complicated issues in relation to things like employment or family law, where they might need to be referred onto the WRC. And we really don't feel that it's fair to expect that all volunteers would be able to do that.
But you do give training. You do give, sorry to cut across, you do give training to volunteers, don't you?
We do give training to volunteers, but they are volunteers, and we wouldn't have the same expectation that we would have had on a paid person. And I think that the information has changed and schemes are changing so quickly over the last number of years. And for example, we have staff from Citizen Information Services currently supporting Ukrainian refugees around the country, and their situation is often changing on a daily basis.
But you're not saying that because you're not saying that because somebody's a volunteer, their commitment is any the less, is it?
Absolutely not. But we have to recognise that they are volunteers, and we cannot have the same expectations of them that we would have of a paid staff member. And people's change circumstances can change, and we don't want there to be a situation where people services closed to the public because a volunteer is not available. So what we're trying to do is balance the service delivery through paid staff and volunteers.
Just a final question.
We're absolutely not denigrating the role of volunteers.
Just a final question. Those 900 volunteers, again, from the review, say that it's the equivalent of 100 full-time paid staff. Are you going to have an additional 100 full-time paid staff to pick up the slack here?
We are currently looking at rolling out this new strategy, and part of that would be assessing how best to deliver the service and looking at the number of paid staff that we do have around the country. So that is being kept under review, and we will continue to review that as we roll it out, the new way of working.
Very good. Fiona Coyne from Citizen Information, thank you very much for that.